The King of the universe is going to be with you all the way until traveling days are ended. So praise him forever. That's the hymn writer says it better than we could ever sing it or say it, but that's where we're heading today as we open up to Psalm 72. We didn't print it in your folder. It's in the middle of your Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the pew Bible in front of you, that's up to you. But Psalm 72, a marvelous part of God's Word because of the way it predicts not just the Magi, but far more. The kings of Tarshish and of distant shores will bring tribute to this king. The kings of Sheba and Seba will bring him gifts. All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him. They will. This is God's word. Grace and peace to you then from God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And say it with me, would you? Amen. Begin. I can only imagine that inaudible word. Nobody hears it, but begin. And a star starts shining east of Israel. Where were these Magi? We don't know. Modern Iraq, modern Arabia, they were somewhere to the east. And they know so much less than we do about King Jesus, but they hear him calling. The star says to them, no words, begin. And they leave. Was it because of what Daniel, perhaps centuries earlier, had led them to assume, to expect, based on promises that only the Jewish people really had? But these foreigners, these magicians, start out unaccountably. Begin. Where should we begin to think about God's kingdom and what the Magi have to do with us today? And how does this psalm frame it? I would go to Bethlehem, but 1,000 years before Jesus was born. There's a prophet, and his name is Samuel. And God says to him through his Holy Spirit, that's the one, not the older brothers, that one. Begin. And Samuel pours the oil on David's head, and David doesn't get to be king for a long time. Saul, the current king, chases him, but finally David takes over. Saul dies in battle at his own hand, and God says to David, begin. He starts ruling over just a few tribes at first. And then the rest of the tribes finally knuckle under, and God says, begin. I want that city, Jerusalem, as my new capital. You should take that one. And so not only does it become the capital, but God says again, begin. There's a whole worship experience I want to have happen there to picture what's going to go on forever. Get the tent and bring it up to the top hill on the northeast side of the city. Begin. Should David build the temple there? He doesn't. He gets mixed up about that. His son Solomon builds it. And Solomon, who wrote this psalm for us, maybe that even confused you. If you have your Bible open, the beginning says of Solomon, but the end says this concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse. Right at the beginning, there's a puzzle about the ending. Who wrote this psalm? Solomon did. The greatest, wisest king. And yet, what we should likely assume is that when David, his father, wrote most of the psalms that we consider the first 72, the first two sections out of five books of psalms that we call them, at first, this must have been where it ends. So, what a wonderful thing to tell you at the beginning of the year, again, about your Bible, even in the smallest detail. Why does this psalm end? This concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse. Almost for sure, because just like at the front of whatever Bible you might have in front of you, right after the title page, there's a copyright page. They did that way back when, even before people had printing presses and computers. And if it went into the Bible, it never came out. God made sure that his word stayed firm. Other psalms got collected, other psalms got added later, but this concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse. Well, we need something special then at the end of this psalm. I want you to begin this whole year as God directs in Christ with Psalm 72 in mind. And so let's again look at the ending first, oddly enough. How does this psalm end? Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Let the rest of the world think that somehow the world made itself or that life came about on its own. We start another year saying God is our creator. God sent his son Jesus. Only God who makes virgins have babies. Only God who has his own son die on the cross. Only God who raises his holy son from the dead. Only God does miracles. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who keeps his faithful promises. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. We were trying to sing that before in fitting melody, in majestic melody and in sturdy singing. But who could ever sing this enough or loud enough? So how do you begin? How do you begin a new year? Accountants might have a different year, or people in school, or people that work the ground. There's various ways, there's various years that we have, don't we? But a new calendar year for all of us, first time we're in God's house is calendar year, likely. How should we begin? Solomon begins this way. Endow the king with your justice, O God. The royal son with your righteousness. Is he talking about himself? Another one of the puzzles of the psalm. Is he talking about himself or is he talking about his son who will succeed him? Does Solomon write this when he's a young king or when he's an old king? It doesn't say. If Solomon's writing about himself, that would fit because he's praying for righteousness. In fact, he says, this king, this royal son, he will judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. Do you remember the story of how just after Solomon becomes king, David is old. And right before David dies, Solomon's older brother tries to take the throne, and everyone in Jerusalem is cheering, "Long live King Adonijah!" But Bathsheba gets David out of his fog. David's favorite wife, Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, gets David out of the fog, and David says, "No, you're right, Solomon. Solomon should be the next king." And they go get David's donkey, and then everyone starts cheering by the Gihon spring, "Long live King Solomon!" So is that what's going on in this psalm too? Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given him. Oh, Solomon got lots of gold, all right. But there's probably more than that here. Solomon starts out his reign after God puts him on the throne and he dispatches some of the bad guys that had not been dispatched by his father David. Solomon starts out with a dream of all things. You read this in 1 Kings 3. God takes him aside at night, and at first Solomon doesn't even know it's a dream, and God says, "Ask me for whatever you want." And Solomon says, "Please give your servant a listening heart, a discerning heart, so I can administer justice for this people." That's how the psalm begins. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. If there's anything any of us need, it's that those above us, those who run our lives in various ways, agencies and governments and schools and bosses, please let them be doing the right thing the right way. Let it be fair. Let it be honorable. God, could you have a king that would just make everything right everywhere? That's what this psalm is about. Could this be about Rehoboam? Solomon has a son that's going to take over for him. Fast forward again. Now Solomon himself is getting old. And Rehoboam will take over. Solomon's written a bunch of proverbs for Rehoboam, but Rehoboam, he wants to tax the people way more than his father had. He's a punk. He says perverse, foul things that you can't repeat in church very well in front of children. And the kingdom disintegrates. And it gets worse after that. Not only does it split into two parts, but things fall apart so long for so many kings over God's rule in their hearts that who is this psalm about? When it says the mountains will bring prosperity to the people, the hills, the fruit of righteousness. Things are just going to be prosperous all over Israel, especially in the mountain territory, the central spine of Israel. And he will defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor. Doesn't that sound like exactly the way we would love to begin a new year? Prosperity. And when there's troubles, there would be someone in charge who would fix everything, and who would be, his heart would go out to anyone in need, and he would not only help those who were severely hurting, but he would crush the bad guys. Who is this king? He will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. He'll be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. At least a dozen of you know way better than I do how this part works. Because rain falling on cut hay, what is that? Do you want it to rain right after you cut the hay in the field? That's not really good for the hay, is it? You don't want drenching rains. But this is Israel. This is different from Minnesota. This is a land where for 6 months of the year it doesn't rain hardly at all. And then they actually had two growing seasons. Things grow at the first part of the year, and then you can cut whatever. You can cut the hay, you can cut the grass, the vegetation that's there. But you need it to soften up again so that you can plant one more time. Wouldn't that be wonderful to have two crops every year? That's what it was like when God blessed the land. And that's what this king will be like. In his days, the righteous will flourish. Prosperity will abound till the moon is no more. Who is this king? He will rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. That's what I would like. Not only a king who rules everywhere, but does so in person. Even the greatest of the kings. I suppose you can argue that Mr. Putin is one of the greatest kings in the world. He rules an enormous country. Russia is vast. Or the king, we don't call him the king, the head of the party in China. He rules the most people. Mr. Trump, the king of America, he's the president, he's not the king. But we have troops in 150 countries, vast military might that our Joint Chiefs of Staff are in charge of, and yet this king starts out at the Euphrates River and heads to the ends of the earth with his reign. No other king like him, because every other king rules in absentia. Every other king says, okay, over there you do this. And if you don't, my armies will make you do this, and my tax guys will make you pay. And he will rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. The desert tribes will bow down before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. He'll take care of them personally. How should we begin a new year? What if there were a king who personally, presently, right where everybody is, was ruling? Everywhere anybody went, he would be there ruling. What if you could come right up to his table and he would personally feed you his own body and blood, and he would reign in the hearts of believers throughout the world by the power of his own spirit? We would be thrilled. The kings of Tarshish and of distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts. All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him, for he will deliver the needy who cry out. Have you cried out already this year? Do you know someone who has just been hurting? And what will this year bring? How many ups and downs and sorrows will there be? How much compassion will you need? This king, he will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. So when this psalm says, long live the king, it's not really a prayer so much as it is a cheer. This is a beautiful psalm in which promises and prayers kind of wind together, but in the end it's praises. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. Let grain abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. Aren't you glad, those of you who work the ground, that when God puts it as picturesquely as he can, and as permanently, an eternal reign of a king who couldn't be better, that he pictures it in terms of vegetation. Grain is abounding. Hills are swaying with the grain, and fruit flourishing like Lebanon, like the proverbial forest north of Israel. Let it thrive like the vegetation of the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Bottom line, last part of Solomon's original, before we get to the doxology and the copyright line. All nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Everything that God ever intended through Abraham, when he said, all nations will be blessed through you, begin, buddy. And Abraham took off for a foreign land that he'd never been to before. All nations are going to be blessed through this king. Who is this king? Two ways of helping this hit home. One is, I looked this up because you know me. I'm kind of curious. The Minnesota state statutes for pumping gas. Have you been like me lately? Have you pumped a little gas? Have you been cold when you pumped gas like me? Have you said, oh, it's cold out here? And then have you seen the sign? I usually go to Sam's Club. But wherever I go, I notice the sign, especially in my favorite pump at Sam's Club, where it says, you can't go inside your car when you're pumping gas. Have you noticed that little sign too? Has the thought crossed your mind, I'm just going to disobey that and go inside the car? I'm so cold. Why do I have to stand out here? Here's the Minnesota state statute. It's 239.751, petroleum dispenser, price, label, and sign. It's subsection 6A, where it says, let's get to the right spot. It says you have to be there. Where did that go? Section 6. A person must be, and I quote, in close attendance to the dispenser nozzle while fuel is being dispensed into a motor vehicle. You can't go in your car. Well, that's good, right? Because if the guy next to you does that and then the automatic shutoff fails because it's so cold outside, or the little switch gets frozen and then 20 gallons of gas spills out all over the place, and that wouldn't be good. You need good rules. If you're going to have a good society, if you're going to have a good kingdom, you need a good king. Because you need to apply those rules well. Listen to the next line. This flabbergasted me. Not only must you be in close attendance to the dispenser, quote, no civil or criminal penalties apply to violations of this subdivision. Really? You mean I can actually jump in my car when I'm cold and they can't? Well, you know. I would like rules to selectively apply to me, make everything work well for me, but my neighbor better do it all right because I don't want him impinging on my freedoms in any ways. What kind of a king do you... What kind of a kingdom do we live under? If Jesus reigns and if wise men, if magi bow down to a baby and present him with gold, rules so firm you could never, ever, ever obey them all well enough. Rules that we'll often be thinking, maybe I'll just... try to get an exception on that one. Endow the king with your righteousness, God. That's how we begin this year. Asking our Father to give his son, the real king that Solomon was really pointing at, the most righteous rule. Don't let there be exceptions. Don't let people get hurt. Especially with big bad fire that could consume everything. God, make the bad guys pay and keep me out of it, please. When I have troubles and sorrows this year, that's what this psalm is about too. So where do we get this line that you might have seen in the folder already? Begin with the end in mind. That's from a guy named Stephen Covey. Covey was a Mormon who famously wrote a book in the 80s called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And almost surely, if you're in business or if you're in education, you've run across it. The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, number 2, is begin with the end in mind. Which fits our psalm not just because this psalm ends in praise as the whole book of Psalms does, but because Mr. Covey's end came a few years ago. We tell this to little school children. We say, look at the puzzle. Look at the whole picture. And now you can put the puzzle together. And our year is a puzzle much more than this psalm and its various intricacies are a puzzle. What's going to happen? Begin with the end in mind, loved ones. Mr. Covey, like a dear pastor of this congregation once said, Mr. Covey died at age 79 while bicycling. He fell off his bike and hit his head so bad. All of a sudden, a vigorous, famous, well-to-do, intelligent man no longer was on this earth. In that case, a man who didn't believe the main point of the psalm, that there's a king who will reign forever because he always has reigned. Where will you begin this year? Well, you've already done something great. You've come to God's house. Almost all of us are going to come up now to God's table. Begin with the end in mind, loved ones. the end of all things. Jesus being praised, all nations being blessed. The Lord God, the God of Israel, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who alone does marvelous deeds, may his glorious name be praised forever. May the whole world, may the whole earth be filled with his glory. Begin with the end in mind.